Amen. It's good to be here with you this morning, and as we start the Advent season, so you may or may not recall the word Advent. It means coming, and we celebrate Advent the four Sundays leading up to Christmas, and this coming anticipates the true reason of the season, the birth of the Son of God. And so it will help us to just point our attention to why we really celebrate. So today we tried to light the hope candle. We appreciate that you guys helped us there. Lord willing, in the coming weeks we will complete all five of them as we look at the hope, the love, the joy, the peace, and the light that Jesus still brings today. So, you know, the Christmas story is likely one of the most familiar in all Scripture. And this season, I hope to kind of look at it from a little bit of a different angle through the viewpoint of some of the more obscure prophets of the Old Testament, where the coming of Christ was actually a future event for them. Now, if you are like us, at some point this season, you will watch your favorite Christmas movie. Now, for us, it is Home Alone 1 and 2. Those top the list. And, of course, Elf. I don't know if you like Elf or not. Now, maybe for you, it's more like It's a Wonderful Life holds that number one spot. But whatever it is, if you think about it, all of these movies have something in common. Whatever it is, the plot of these films, something unexpected happens that leaves the main character in a difficult situation. And just when it seems like all hope was lost and that their lives would never be put back together again, sure enough, the writer of the script makes a way for hope to shine through. What was once hopeless has turned to happiness and joy. And that's what the advent of Jesus did. The writer of the script, God Himself, made hope shine through when it seemed like all hope was lost. Now, to better understand the hope that Jesus brought, we need to understand the hopelessness that He overcame. We're going to start in the Old Testament book of Micah this morning. So however you prefer, you can be turning to the book of Micah. You'll find this short book very close to the end of the Old Testament. Now, we consider him a minor prophet because his writings were relatively short compared to the major prophets. We know that Micah was outspoken for justice for the poor. It's in his book that we learn what the Lord requires of us. Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Micah prophesied to both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, formerly, they were both one nation, just of Israel. But just two generations after King David, Solomon's son, and then King Rehoboam, he disregarded the wise counsel of the elders that his father had listened to. He took it upon himself to just rule completely ruthlessly. And so they rebelled and divided. And after a long cycle of rebellion and ungodly leaders, hundreds of years later, Micah wrote to warn God's people of the coming judgment because their sins were exposed, the consequences were coming. The Lord would serve justice. So Micah here prophesied to Judah. Micah 5:1. Now, gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. Now, if we're reading through Micah, it's really easy to just kind of skim over these verses and miss what they're saying. No matter how we look at this verse here, this is not good news. God is warning His people, listen, get ready for battle. Actually, get ready for this battle that you will lose, because this is a war you are not going to win. The enemy has laid siege against us. It means that they would soon be surrounded and would be either killed or forced to surrender and then exiled. the judge there in verse 1 that will be struck is their king, King Zedekiah. Soon their king would run from the invasion, but Nebuchadnezzar would catch him, kill his sons in front of him, and put out his eyes, and he would be a prisoner for the rest of his life. So just try to put yourself in their place. Micah is prophesying that very soon, life as they knew it was over, and it would never be the same for this people. Now, history tells us their brothers and sisters in Israel would already have been defeated. So add all of this up. Their king would be captured, their city surrounded, there was no hope of rescue, and on top of that, they had this prophet, Micah, that was painting a pretty clear picture of the doom and gloom that they were facing as a consequence of their sin. Israel and Judah are both hopeless. Now, we have received bad news before. And depending on what it is, some of us know the shock and just the numbness, the hopelessness that soon follows bad news. This was really bad news for Judah. In this hopelessness, just like in some of our favorite Christmas movies, the writer gives hope. If you would please stand out of respect for the Word of God, if you're able to. Micah 5, 2 through 5. Hear the word of the Lord. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. Lord, bless the reading of his word. So verse 2, right there, it starts out, but you, Bethlehem. Now, we know Bethlehem because of the Christmas story, but throughout the Old Testament, Bethlehem is actually an obscure town. Yes, it was the city where David was born, but notice it's described as little among the thousands of Judah. Back in the book of Joshua, it's not even listed among the cities of Judah because it's so insignificant. But that is how our God works. He doesn't need significance. He is significance. If you're here this morning and you're looking for significance, you will find it in no other place but in Jesus Christ. See, that's the hope of Christmas. That God takes something that the rest of the world has forgotten and changes the entire world. Notice what's promised. Out of this little town, a ruler would come. The next blank on your outline. A ruler, the promise of a ruler. There were 39 kings that ruled Israel and Judah in the Old Testament. And if you go through and read their stories, only 8 were considered godly. So less than 1 out of 5. Most of God's children had never known a good, godly ruler. Notice how this ruler is described. Contrasted with the 39 kings who came and went, this one is eternal. You can write that down. Verse 2, his goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. In verse 3, it says that the remnant, what's left of the scattered people, the war-torn nation, will return. And so this ruler will bring a homecoming for his people. Verse 4, he will feed his flock in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. This is a picture of a shepherd. This ruler will be a shepherd. Most of the former kings did not shepherd the people because they were only concerned about themselves and their carnal desires, disregarding everything God said. But this king will be different. Verse 4, and they shall abide. They are his people. We've seen this word abide often. And most often it's used to describe an intimacy with God. It literally means to take up residence, to remain and stay. It's a sense of security and closeness. Next blank on your outline. So all of these are contrasted with the upheaval that they were getting ready to experience with their current leaders. Verse 4 goes on to say, "For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and one shall be peace." One is none other than Jesus Christ himself, Prince of Peace. And he is still the hope for this world today. No matter how hopeless your situation gets, Jesus brings hope. Those are the next blanks on your outline. Jesus brings hope. What we need to remember, often, there is a right now and a not yet of many of the promises of God. We experience this hope on a level now that is limited by our humanity. But one day, this hope will be made reality. We need to remember that God's timing is not our timing. His ways are not our ways. I mean, think about this. A good shepherd ruler that rules in the strength of the Lord, that cultivates a close intimacy and brings peace. We could imagine the people would have said, let's take that instead of this doom and gloom that you're talking about. That's what we want, and we want it right now. But what we know now that they didn't know, Micah wrote 700 years before Christ. When the people heard how strong this ruler would be, they probably expected a military leader to come in and defeat their enemies. But this ruler did not come as that. See, sometimes the shepherd takes care of greater needs than what we can see right now. Maybe you need to hear that this morning. Maybe the shepherd always takes care of our needs, but often he takes care of our needs that are greater than what we can see that are right in front of us. Sometimes all the stuff in our lives that we just don't understand why they're happening are because God is working in the bigger picture than what we can see. We want our immediate needs taken care of. Often, our God is looking at eternal needs more than immediate. He often addresses eternal needs more than he addresses immediate needs. Sometimes, the consequence of our sin bring pain. The pain is designed to bring us back to the Father. Sometimes, the brokenness of this world brings pain, but the pain is designed to bring us back to God the Father. His timing is not our timing. His ways are not our ways. And the reality is, often for God's people, our future is bright, but the present is painful. I remember our study in Hebrews chapter 6 that we did this summer. In context, it's speaking of God's covenant, his binding agreement that he made with Abraham. We know that his is a case study of having a bright future with a painful present. Remember the context. El Shaddai, God Almighty, the most and only powerful God, made his covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17 and 22. It was a promise to bless Abraham with protection and descendants and land, and most importantly, the Messiah. Now, we know that God takes his promises very seriously, and I think that's one of the main points of these verses here in Hebrews. His promises are based on his character, and there is none higher. And despite Abraham's faults and failures, and even though it took 25 years to come true, God kept his promise. God's promises bring hope. Just like they did in Micah. How could Abraham persevere so long? How could the people in Micah's time and for the next 700 years persevere? By putting their hope in the promises of God. What we need to see this Christmas season, it's the same thing that we needed to hear this summer. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in Him, Jesus, are yes. Because He has been faithful in the past, we can stand firm today knowing that God will continue to be faithful no matter what season we find ourselves in. God's promises bring hope. Even if the present is painful, the future is bright. Whatever season you're in, it may be a dark season, it may be a winter season, the seasons change. Romans 5:5, hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, many of the things that we hope in today end up letting us down, but our God will not. Consider the hope that we have in God's promises that are yes to us in Christ this Christmas. Promise of security. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Promises bring hope. The hope that we stand upon, that God will never leave us or forsake us, they're based on God's promises. We have a promise of His presence. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord, He is one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The hope that we have that He walks with us through every part of life is based on His promises. Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The hope that we have that even in the struggle, He's still faithful, are based on His promises. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Promise after precious and rich promise are found in His Word. And the promises, these promises in His Word bring hope. These are promises that we find when we move forward in our faith. Have a steady, healthy diet of the things of God, not just here, not just during this Advent season, but on our own, day after day, making it a habit, these promises that we find in His Word, they give us hope, and this hope gives us strength to endure whatever season we're going through, to move forward in faith. Our God takes His promises very seriously. His promises are based on His character. There is none higher than God Almighty, and because this is true, His promises bring hope that He will do what He says He will do. Verse 18, we have strong consolation, Hebrews 6, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, which the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. Same Jesus prophesied through Micah. Same Jesus born in a manger. The same Jesus that saved my soul almost 34 years ago. Coming up next week. Notice a few things from Hebrews 6 that God promises and the hope they give us. We might have strong consolation, verse 18, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Notice that word consolation. There in verse 18, it's paraklesis. It's often translated as comfort. And notice this is strong comfort. The hope that we have in Christ brings strong comfort. It's in God's unalterable purpose and oath, a promise of salvation in Christ. Those promises bring hope and comfort. Notice also in verse 18, this hope is described as a refuge. A refuge is a safe place, a shelter from pursuit, danger, and trouble. When we, through Christ, run to and trust in the promises of God, we find shelter from pursuit, danger, and trouble, no matter how bad the pursuit, danger, and trouble get. Notice it's described as an anchor. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. An anchor helps a ship stay put. An anchor keeps the ship from drifting away. If we lose sight of the hope of eternity through Christ, we too will drift. Verse 19 says, this hope is both sure and steadfast. Words that mean certain and stable. This hope can be relied upon. And while all this is incredibly wonderful, the most significant truth may be in verses 19 and 20. Hope we have is an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. We know who entered behind the veil into God's presence. Only the high priest, only once a year. He stood there to offer sacrifices to bridge the gap between God and people. And he had to do that every year. He had to do that for his own sins. But when Jesus came, the great high priest, and stood and gave his life as a sacrifice for sinners, the veil was torn from top to bottom. And now we are able to approach his throne of grace with confidence and find help and grace in time of need. It's another promise, a promise of undeserved yet graciously gifted position through Christ. Hope that we have in all of these things, security, his presence, his faithfulness, salvation, comfort, a refuge, an anchor, certainty, stability, and position are only available to us because Jesus was born in that little obscure town in Bethlehem so many years ago. It was at a time when all hope seemed lost. Just like God promised through Micah, he sent his son to breathe hope and life into a hopeless situation. So, the Christmas story, it shows up in this Old Testament prophet. And as it turns out, this Old Testament prophet shows up in the Christmas story. Read with me Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." And here it is, Micah 5. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Verse 7. "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And they saw the star. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Isn't it interesting these wise men studied the same scripture that we read here today. Prophet Micah. After waiting hundreds of years, God came through on his promise. He often takes care of our eternal needs more than he does our immediate needs. And many times, it's because what we think are needs really are just wants. He still breathes new life into hopeless situations. He still does that through Christ, and his free gift of life is available to you here today if you've never experienced it. His rich promises of security and presence and position, they're still good for today. We can rest in them. We can hope in them because Jesus is here now. So as we go into this time of invitation, share with you Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Bow your head and close your eyes as we go into a time of reflection. Just considering what the Lord is saying to your heart here this morning. Maybe you came and you're in a season, a difficult season, and you just needed to hear seasons change. While it might seem like the Lord is not taking care of you, it might seem like the Lord has just left you, he's looking at the bigger picture. One of these days, it will all make sense. Encouraged. You're here this morning and you would say, well, I have faith, but I haven't been putting it into practice. Man, this time of Advent, time to return to Jesus. Time to turn from whatever it is that's gotten you distracted. Turn back to the Father and find his arms open wide. You have someone in your life, a loved one that needs to do that. Hear the hope that Jesus brings. You're here and you just worship God. Thank him for Jesus. Rest in the hope that we have. Lord, we invite you to come and we thank you for who you are, what you've done. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. Lord, help us to hold on to that. Lord, in dark moments, help us to remember that you breathe life into the most hopeless situation. Jesus changes everything. Father, let us cling to him. Let us worship you, Lord. Let us be a light to those that we come in contact with. God, we thank you for what you're doing at this church. We thank you for this church family. We lift up everything that's going on, Lord. We lift up the banquet tonight. That your word would fall on hearts that are ready to hear it. Love you and we need you. In the name of Jesus, we pray.